listener production. Coffee for one, through your headphones whenever you feel like it. Even in the afternoon or after dinner.
Say it again, it keeps me awake.
It's Matt and Alex all day breakfast.
Yes, welcome to what is Matt O'Kine's favourite day of the year. You would have heard it this time last year, but May the 4th be with you. As the biggest Star Wars fan in Australia, Matt, you must be just chomping at the bit like an Ewok.
Hey.
Just getting ready to demolish an AT, whatever they're called.
I don't know any of those references. I did watch the first one, remember? So I am up to date. I have advanced in my Star Wars knowledge.
Whoa. Up to date. You're still in the 1970s, mate, because you've only watched the first one.
Anyway.
You're not up to date yet.
Okay. But what I do know is that in the second one, Luke Skywalker gets his arm chopped off, all right, by Darth Vader. Is that correct? Spoiler alert. But this ties into a story that I saw pop up on news.com.au just a few days ago, which is the story about a gentleman. We mentioned this man last year about his plight, Malcolm McDonald.
Of course, because it's a news story that has reference to penises and for whatever reason.
Hey, look.
Always makes it into the show.
Look, this gentleman, Malcolm McDonald, you might remember his penis fell off in the toilet one day. He had an infection and it fell off. And so a doctor reattached a sort of new one, crafted a new one and reattached it to his forearm. But then COVID happened and there was a series of delays. So he lived with a penis on his arm for 6 years, right?
Is that really elective surgery?
I would say it's
that elective?
Pretty, it's pretty important. I'd be really pressing for this kind of has to happen soon. So it was on there for 6 years. The good news is, Alex Dyson, they finally took it off. They reattached it between his legs and life is returning to normal for this gentleman.
Well, that is very, very good to hear. And,
I'm just reading a line from the article. It says, an elderly lady once asked him to get an item from the top shelf of a supermarket, but the willy came loose and swung down. Okay, look, do we need to re-record an intro? No, look, it's too late. We're going into the show.
We do that sometimes.
We do re-record.
If you are listening.
No, we're committing. We're committing to this. May the 4th be with you. Mm. Let's jump into this show. This is Matt and Alex. All day breakfast.
This is just the start.
Everyone ready?
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Matt and Alex, all day breakfast.
Well, Matt O'Kine, really it's only a matter of time till the wrecking ball comes for us all. The wrecking ball of life.
Miley Cyrus said it all in her track, Party in the USA. No, I'm joking. In her song, Wrecking Ball.
That's probably the dumbest joke of all time, but for some reason I find it extremely funny.
Going to put my hands up, playing my song. But look, I've actually got, I know what you're going to talk about, Alex Dyson. I've got a little bit of an admission to make. Mm. And that is, I never watched Kath and Kim.
Really? That's interesting.
I don't think I ever sat through a single episode ever in my life. I know little bits, snippets of part of the vernacular.
So you're a Kath and Kim hater.
I'm not. Hey. I'm not against Kath and Kim, okay?
Well, you're right. It is a story about Kath and Kim, but because maybe we should then, we can't do May the 4th again because last May the 4th you, without having watched it, gave us the plot of Star Wars. Having not seen it, what's the plot of Kath and Kim?
I don't know. It's mother and daughter, right? They're mother and daughter. They live in a house. They're bogans. They say Chardonnay. They say Kumui. Look at me. Kumui. Kumui.
What's Kath's husband's name?
I don't know, but I know he's played by Pete Rosethorne.
No.
Magda Zabansky's always got a thing around her neck.
That's Kel.
I don't know. I literally don't know anything about it. I just know that they're bogans from Melbourne. That's it. That's all I know.
Anyway, the house that Kath and Kim was filmed in between 02 to 07, where it was rented by the ABC, it was last sold in 2016 for $1.4 million. The owners now are taking the wrecking ball to it. Big renovations, gutting the place, and the house will be demolished. It was renovated a little bit in 2019, and they held an open house at the time to raise money for Carrie Bickmore's Beanies for Brain Cancer.
That's nice.
So, it's something that really should be heritage listed in Australia, getting a massive facelift.
Well, I mean, I'd hate for the same, you know, outcome to happen to the Bluey House, which, you know, exists in Brisbane. Have you seen the Bluey House?
Well, they did make that, didn't
it's
they?
Modelled it's been modelled exactly like Bluey and Bingo's cartoon home. It looks exactly the same. It was on Airbnb for a while. Then they sold it, and it sold for a cool $1.84 million, which is $1 million more than what the owners paid for it 8 years ago.
They made $1 million in 8 years.
Yeah, just by painting it like Bluey's house.
That's an annual income of $115,000 a year for just owning a house. Oh, my God, Australia's broken.
Yeah, well, making it look like a big kennel, you know, I mean, that's the secret to it all. So I'd hate for that to go face the same thing. I mean, I would hate for any number of institutions in our country, Alex Dyson, to go the way of the Kath and Kim house.
Well, it does raise a few issues in Australia in which, you know, we need to be vigilant if we want to make sure that our national treasures are protected. And so Matt and I, on behalf of you and the All Day Breakfast community, we're putting in with Heritage Australia a few forms to try and get a few of our Australian architectural institutions protected. And these are some of the big ones that we're going for.
I, for one, would never want to see anything happen to the South Bank fake beach. All right? I want it to stay in its exact state as it is right now, floaties included.
The most expensive public toilet in Australia.
Actually, I went there the other day. It's pretty beautiful. I have to actually admit.
It's nice.
I was like, damn, nice. I could go for a dip.
The Round the Twist Lighthouse. It's in Aries Inlet, which is in the Wannon electorate that I'm running for. So pretty soon I could be the boss of it. And hopefully I'll be living in there with Bronson and trying to shut the door to Mr. Gribble.
Egg Boy's Egg. I think that, like, we can't live in it, but a chicken could, and I just think that we should preserve it. So
and
I don't know.
We have hard to, boiling it to preserve it.
We have to kind of scrape the little bits of shell from Fraser Anning's hair that's still in there, and then, you know, really stitch it back together. But once it's back, I really believe that we keep that egg and preserve it for a good chook.
The Kerrigan residence, which was tried to get pulled down in the movie, it got saved. We do need to save it again because it is the foremost example in Australia architecturally of a fake chimney. But as Daryl Kerrigan says, adds to the charm.
And do you know what? It's not just the house either. We want the hole.
We want the hole.
We want the hole. We want Dale's hole intact or not intact. Yeah. Whatever, however you want to call it.
Yeah. Chappelle Corby's boogie board bag.
I was going to say that. We can't touch that. Home to 4 kilos
it's
of weed. I mean, we've got to make sure that no one touches that.
Well, exactly right. I mean, home to a boogie board and...
Lawnmower clippings. Really, still. Finding a good place in the green lid bin. Wait, what's that bridge that people keep getting stuck under in Melbourne?
The Montague Street Bridge. You're right.
We shall not change it, all right? I want aliens to find us.
He's trying to take the wrecking ball to that and it'll just get wrecked itself. The Montague Street Bridge, a very low-hanging bridge that trucks in Melbourne continually get absolutely pulverised on.
Those are just a few of the places that we want to keep safe and in our memories, untouched and preserved. So while we say farewell to Kath and Kim's house, you know, let's keep a few more things sacred, shall we?
All day breakfast.
I'm calling it.
That's cool.
Drippy.
What about like?
That's pretty cool.
What's hitting?
Little thing called.
What's hitting?
With Sarah.
Yes, that's right. It is that time of the week. It's been a little while since we've had a chat to our favourite young person. What is it? Generation? No, it's not millennial. What is it? It's Sarah. Anyways, hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Sarah, what are you?
Generation Z.
What's the next generation? What's the one after that? Is it Generation Alpha or something?
I would laugh at that, but I think it genuinely is. So I don't know. So now I'm like puzzled if I should laugh or not because I wouldn't put it past us.
Yeah, poor kids. Generation Lame coming through after Generation Z. But no, what we do is get Sarah on every week. She is 15, so knows exactly what's happening on the zeitgeist. But earlier in the week, we were talking about reviews, Sarah, and you got reviewed yourself. You had your parent-teacher interviews this week.
Yeah, we had them on Wednesday. There's pretty much one perk to it. You get to leave at 12:30. But most of my teachers had a quick little 15-minute sit-down with my parents.
Yeah, right. And what did they say?
So some of them love me, some of them don't. And I don't see how that's my problem, but apparently food and nutrition is not my strong spot.
Oh, well, I mean, did you select this subject, though?
Yeah, I did. It's in my own fault. But, like, hold on. We cook, like, once every 2 weeks, so it's not that bad.
Okay. So, I mean, why don't you change subjects then? You can always change. I realised about halfway through year 9, halfway through year 10, the Japanese was not for me. And it's a big yeah. No, thank you. Arigato gozaimasu.
Well, the thing is, it's like I've got my best mate and three other of my good mates in there, and that's why it's probably not my strong spot because I was told
a bit disruptive.
So
as well,
now
then,
the truth is coming out, Sarah. You want to blame the teachers? You want to blame the class? But you're a little backseat bandit, just living it up.
The fact that I am a backseat bandit, but that's not the point. The point is that food nutrition is not my strong spot. That's what we're going to say it is.
Okay, sure.
Well, so, you've got top marks from all of our listeners whenever you come on and let us know exactly what's going on with the youth. And that's why people message in all the time with a question. You can too, matt.and.alex. First question for you, Sarah, from our clueless above 18-year-old listeners is Carissa. What do young people think about Coachella and the Met Gala? Are they still cool and do you care about them?
So, to be honest, I've never met someone that is genuinely excited about either of them. But, like, I think it's kind of fun just to see what people wear to both of the events because that's pretty much what both of the events are about. Like, no one actually cares what's happening there. But it's more just the outfits. Like whenever one happens, literally all my feed on all my socials is just like what this person would have Met Gala. But personally, I couldn't care less. But like, I think some people do.
Is there an event that you and your friends are all super excited about going to, you know, at the moment? Are you looking forward to?
Snoop Dogg's coming to Brisbane in November, I think.
Do you care about Snoop Dogg? Like, would you go?
I love Snoop.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
I thought that he would, like, he's like old man now. I thought he'd be, like, so not cool. Is he cool?
Nah, Snoop's never going to die.
Oh, well, I mean, look, I agree with you. I reckon he's rad, but I was just, that shocks me. Well, that's good to know.
Snoop Doggy Dog.
What about, I'm going to go through all of the rappers. Okay, is Eminem still cool?
Yeah, kind of, yeah, I reckon.
50 Cent?
Not as much, but a lot of his songs are still played.
Nelly.
Oh, I don't even know that one, so.
What? You don't know Nelly?
Come on. We got to introduce you to Nelly.
It's getting hot in here, so hot.
Yeah. Okay, I know.
If you want to go and take a ride with me, the pulse heat, so why did I feel this? Hey, must be the money.
Oh, no, so you're definitely Gen Z, Sarah, because if anyone hears that opening line and doesn't yell, hey, must be the money.
I know the song, I just didn't remember the rapper.
You're out of our generation. But anyways, look, we've got one more question from David who says, and I don't actually understand this question. David says, what does Sarah think of the coastal grandmother trend?
The what trend?
Yeah, well, I thought exactly the same thing. I'm Googling it. Now, okay. I'm reading an article from Marie Claire. It's wide-brimmed straw hats, button-up light blouses, and straw bags and baskets. It's basically, they've shown a picture of Meryl Streep in one of those movies that's similar to, like, you know, Tuscan Dreaming or...
The Mamma Mia where she's on the Greek islands,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, that sort of thing, yeah. But I'm guessing you don't, you've missed that.
I just don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah, no, nah, neither.
Well, that's probably as good an answer as any, as it's not on the radar.
So what is, is what is the trend then? What is the trend right now? Because it seems to change quite regularly. So what's hot right now?
I know sunset lamps are back, like, are weirdly in right now. Sunset lamps.
Sunset lamps?
You mean like lava lamps?
No, it's like I have one in my room, but it's like it's a little light and it's like a stand and you can bend it in whatever way and it's like it projects the same colour and light of a sunset and you can change it to be like a pink sunset or anything else.
Oh.
And it's basically the new LEDs.
Last year you were telling us about all the LEDs that are in, like, you know, you, people get them in their rooms and put them up. Are they already out of fashion? I still haven't bought mine. I was going to buy them.
Well, they're not out of fashion, but they're kind of like overrated now, I think.
Oh, no. Mm. See, this is, as soon as I pick up a trend, it's dead. Dead
well,
in the water.
You didn't have to pick it up yet.
No, well, that's even worse. I couldn't even, I was too slow to pick up a dead trend. That's terrible. All right, well, look.
It's okay.
We thank you so much, Sarah, for everything as always, and we look forward to chatting you to you again very, very soon. We hope you have a good week. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
All day breakfast.
Drippy.
All day breakfast.
Well, there was outrage, Alex Dyson, according to news.com.au, as there often is.
That's
it's often outrage.
That is every article. Oh, you'll have to narrow it down slightly.
I saw Carl Stefanovic get outraged about, you know, the Cancer Council saying that you should stop giving kids ham sandwiches, you know. Carl was outraged about that. People were outraged.
What, he prefers kids with cancer?
No, he said it's too, it's gone too far. That's what he said.
Cancel culture.
Anyway, so look, people were outraged, according to news.com.au, by a poster that was spotted around Victoria recently, around your neck of the woods. Mm. The slogan was, "Let's go work from work." And it features a man wearing a mask, and he looks like he's wearing high vis as well, and he's kind of, I guess he's trying to sort of inspire everyone.
Isn't he at a train station or something?
Yeah, he's at a train station. There's a train behind him, so I think maybe he even could be the train master saying, "Let's go work from work."
Well, I doubt the train drivers could work from home. I don't know what they're trying to do there.
Well, maybe he's trying to tell everyone at the train station, like, "Let's go work from work. Like, let's go."
Oh, so jump on the train, come into the city.
Do you know what? Again. I reckon it's Big Train behind this poster. Hey, get a few swipes on the old Mikey.
Well, people are trying to re-stimulate the economy, get back to normal, and that includes people heading into the offices and working again. But a lot of people like the work-life balance. There's been some a little bit of investigation into it as to people's sort of feelings towards working from home. And the numbers that are coming through, a study has shown that 30% of people, or one third, one in three, say they now have a better work-life balance than they did 2 years ago. And less than one in 10, so like about 8%, think that their work-life balance is worse than it was 2 years ago.
Oh, it's interesting. I mean, another person on Reddit said, convert it all into residential space, right, for those who choose to work in the CBD, okay, or need to, and then you free up some houses in suburbia where it's going to be cheaper. Everyone's going to be living cheaper. Mm. People live close to their workplaces anyway. This particular person said no one should have to travel more than 10 to 15 minutes for work. So, I mean, if you want to live work in the city, go live in one of the buildings that's now going to be free with all of these office spaces that they don't need anymore.
Wait. So instead of work from home, you home from work.
Yeah. Live in your work. That's basically what you should be doing.
Live from work. Well, yeah, I have said the reason these people are trying to encourage is because, you know, there's a big rents getting paid by these businesses whilst all of their employees are at home and they're like, the only reason they're trying to get them back is so that that's not seen as a massive waste.
Exactly.
Of money.
So give the money back. Give the space back. We can do things with these spaces.
But then the people who own these skyscrapers aren't getting their rents. You know what? Think of the billionaires, Matt. Come on. Think of them
can't
for once. Thanks,
think
mate.
Of those. I know. Think about all the poor people who won't be able to charge $100 a day for parking. Oh, my heart breaks. My heart absolutely breaks. Now, look, we asked.
I got cooked the other day. It's parked overnight in one of those places.
Oh, all right, Elon Musk. Jesus.
$120.
Of course it was.
I should have parked on the street and copped a fine. Like, honestly, it would have been cheaper. Unbelievable.
I can't believe you parked overnight in the city.
But we wanted to do our own study and just ask you, do you prefer a bit of working from home? Do you like it back in the office? And a lot of people have got in touch here, Matt.
Yeah, that's right. Matt said, I prefer home. I don't have to listen to all the Karens in the office bash their keyboards as they type. All right. Naomi says, I prefer the office because I can't focus if I live, work, study all in my little apartment. Fair enough.
Jack says, home is the best. Clock off and a 4-second commute, which means more time with family. That's awesome. Teresa reckons a bit of both. 3 days in the office and 2 at home is the best.
Ooh,
combo.
That's a bit of, I reckon the Monday and Friday from home, that could be the real sugar spot. Kyle said, the office. I prefer to work in the office because I don't hate people. Okay. Alex says, office is better, home is for family, work is a different place and you need a different headspace and focus. And Taylor says, I like from home because I spend 2 hours less a day in traffic and can get chores done when I need a screen break. Yeah, the travel is a big thing, that's Alex nice. Dyson, but what about our caller?
Yeah, let's go to James now. James, what sort of industry are you working in at the moment?
I'm a support worker. I work with elderly people and I've got a young child at home, so my favourite thing to do is to sleep. Sleep during my lunch break, get an extra 15 minutes, you know, before or afterwards, so be it. No one can tell me off.
Oh, exactly. So you're not doing anything wrong. You're sleeping in your time off, but you couldn't just do that in the office, can you?
Oh, well, it would be a bit weird if I just, laid in the middle of the floor space, the work area, with my pillow and said, all right, you fellas, going to nod off now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a perfectly good and reasonable reason to stay at home. So do you think, are you getting pressure from your workplace at all to go in?
No, which is good.
Ah, brilliant stuff. Well, look, you make a very good argument for it, James. So thank you very much for that. And, good luck with the transition back into the workplace.
No worries, bye,
mate. Cheers, mate. And shout-outs to you if you're listening to Matt and Alex on the commute as well, which is a good time to chuck the podcasts in. Do you reckon our listeners will drop to nothing if people stop commuting, Matt?
Well, if everyone's like Jack here and it takes 4 seconds to commute from upstairs to downstairs, they don't cop much of the show, do they? So fingers crossed.
But if you are taking a nap in your lunch break, Matt and Alex, really great to put you to sleep. Occasionally, so try that one out. Hope you're well. This is All Day Breakfast.
I smell toast.
Thank you very much for listening to All Day Breakfast today. It's been an absolute pleasure hanging out with you. I'm going to be back with a big show tomorrow, actually quite a momentous show, so make sure you join us then. It's a very special occasion.
Oh, that's right. We won't tell you exactly what it is, but let's just say it's a cause for celebration. Please join us then for all the festivities and we will catch you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.
That's it. The all-day breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.and.alex. Listener.